black helicopter crowd notion.
The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
It's nursing. They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Black helicopter crowd really is upset.
The people are stupid and they're drunk. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I am a man of peace, but we have gangsters running this country. Criminals, gangsters.
We're normal. We see total criminal takeover, the death of freedom.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history. I'm trying to awaken people, but look at the morons around you.
They're zombies.
You are joining the online studio. You are unmuted and can speak with the host.
What's good, guys? Raven Blackheart here. Black Helicopter News Podcast, episode 167. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition a government for a redress of grievances. All right. So how do you feel about freedom of speech, folks? Hopefully, if you're listening to this show, you support it. And I was listening to the Joe Rogan Experience yesterday, episode 1555, with the guests Alex Jones and Tim Dillon. The episode's currently up. I'm really surprised it still is. He's already had his past two appearances scrubbed from the servers, scrubbed from existence by the Thought Police, known as Big Tech. The episode only came out a couple days ago, and already people are bitching. The BBC, Spotify, and Joe Rogan under fire over Alex Jones' role. Right now it's Thursday. That episode was uploaded on Tuesday. It hasn't even been up more than a few days, and the snowflakes are bitching. I really don't think the people bitching have even listened to any of the episodes. They just know what they're programmed by Wikipedia, by Google, how they classify these individuals. I think it's a safe assumption to make that many of the people that are so outraged, so many members of the outrage committee, that they've never even listened to their content. What they do here is usually a clip taken out of context, and then they make their decision to be offended based upon that, based upon a clip without context. And that is how this all happens. So I went back to episode 1 of Joe Rogan's podcast. It's on Spotify exclusively now. Ever since he signed an exclusive $100 million deal with Spotify, snowflakes, that people that work for them, people that work for Spotify, have been complaining. They've been bitching and moaning. Some of these people are bitching and moaning about some of the guests he's had on his podcast over the years. So I went back to episode 1 and I found that 49 episodes are missing. And so you can assume that, of course, Alex Jones's two previous episodes, they're removed. Gavin McInnes was on a couple episodes. They were scrubbed from the server. Milo Yiannopoulos was on two episodes. Those were scrubbed from the servers. Adam Kokesh as well. A libertarian presidential candidate just 4 years ago. Of course, Stefan Molyneux's appearances on the podcast were scrubbed from the server. Surprisingly, one remained. Sargon of Akkad, scrubbed. Chris D'Elia, scrubbed. Owen Benjamin, scrubbed. Some of the others that were missing, that were left out, that were scrubbed from the server, were some people that I've never heard of, but one thing that stood out, Freeway Ricky Ross. Nobody had a problem with him being on the show, and as a matter of fact, let's think serial killers. Serial killer interviews. Piers Morgan was allowed to interview a serial killer. I'm not going to go too far down this rabbit hole. The point is, you can interview Charles Manson, you can interview Jeffrey Dahmer, you can interview John Wayne Gacy, you can interview Richard Ramirez. But what you can't do, you can't interview Alex Jones, you can't interview Gavin McInnes, you can't interview Stefan Molyneux. Because the cancel culture mob won't allow it. They can't handle opposing perspectives. They are in an arrested development and they cannot process nuance, humor, or critical thinking in any type of discussion, unbiased critical thinking. They can't handle it. And I just can't get over the mental gymnastics that John Wayne Gacy can be interviewed, but not Alex Jones. So, Spotify, you're really disgraceful for this, for caving in. This leads into another story. Cruz in heated exchange with Twitter's Dorsey. Who the hell elected you? This is on The Hill. Senator Cruz, during a hearing on Wednesday, accused Twitter's CEO, Jack Dorsey, of censoring content with an anti-conservative bias. Cruz slammed Dorsey during a Senate Commerce Committee hearing over the company's decision earlier this month to limit the spread of a New York Post report that included allegations about Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's son Hunter Biden that have been disputed by the former vice president's campaign. The company initially blocked users, including the New York Post, from tweeting links to the article. Both Twitter and Facebook CEOs are scheduled again to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee November 17th. All right, and we've got a clip of this exchange. We're going to play it for you now. It's a big clip. Buckle up.
Chairman, I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for holding this hearing. The three witnesses we have before this committee today collectively pose, I believe, the single greatest threat to free speech in America. And the greatest threat we have to free and fair elections. Yesterday, I spent a considerable amount of time speaking with both Mr. Zuckerberg and Mr. Pichai. I have concerns about the behavior of both of their companies. I would note that Facebook is at the minimum at least trying to make some efforts in the direction of defending free speech. I appreciate their doing so. Google, I agree with the concerns that Senator Klobuchar raised. I think Google has more power than any company on the face of the planet. And the antitrust concerns are real. The impact of Google is profound. And I expect we will have continued and ongoing discussions about Google's abuse of that power and its willingness to manipulate search outcomes to influence and change election results. But today, I want to focus my questioning on Mr. Dorsey and on Twitter. Because of the three players before us, I think Twitter's conduct has by far been the most egregious. Mr. Dorsey, does Twitter have the ability to influence elections?
No.
You don't believe Twitter has any ability to influence elections?
No, we are one part of a spectrum of communication channels that people have.
So you're testifying to this committee right now that Twitter, when it silences people, when it censors people, when it blocks political speech, that has no impact on elections?
People have choice of other communication channels with which...
Not if they don't hear information. If you don't think you have the power to influence elections, why do you block anything?
Well, we have policies that are focused on making sure that more voices on the platform are possible. We see a lot of abuse and harassment, which ends up silencing people and having them leave from the platform.
All right, Mr. Dorsey, I find your opening questions, your opening answers absurd on their face. Let's talk about the last 2 weeks in particular. As you know, I have long been concerned about Twitter's pattern of censoring and silencing individual Americans with whom Twitter disagrees. But 2 weeks ago, Twitter and to a lesser extent, Facebook, crossed a threshold that is fundamental in our country. 2 weeks ago, Twitter made the unilateral decision to censor the New York Post in a series of two blockbuster articles, both alleging evidence of corruption against Joe Biden, the first concerning Ukraine, the second concerning communist China. And Twitter made the decision, number one, to prevent users, any user, from sharing those stories. And number two, you went even further and blocked the New York Post from sharing on Twitter its own reporting. Why did Twitter make the decision to censor the New York Post?
We had a hack materials policy that we...
When was that policy adopted?
In 2018, I believe.
In 2018, go ahead. What was the policy?
So the policy is around limiting the spread of materials that are hacked. We didn't want Twitter to be a distributor for hacked materials. We found that the New York Post, because it showed the direct materials, screenshots of the direct materials, and it was unclear how those were attained, that it fell under this policy. Now,
so in your view, if it's unclear the source of a document, and in this instance, the New York Post documented what it said the source was, which it said it was a laptop owned by Hunter Biden that had been turned into a repair store. So they weren't hiding what they claimed to be the source. Is it your position that Twitter, when you can't tell the source, blocks press stories?
No, not at all. Our team made a fast decision. The enforcement action, however, of blocking URLs, both in tweets and in DM, in direct messages, we believe was incorrect, and we changed it.
Today, right now, the New York Post is still blocked from tweeting 2 weeks later.
Yes, they have to log into their account, which they can do at this minute, delete the original tweet, which fell under our original enforcement actions, and they can tweet the exact same material in the exact same article, and it would go through.
So, Mr. Dorsey, your ability is you have the power to force a media outlet. Let's be clear. The New York Post isn't just some random guy tweeting. The New York Post has the fourth highest circulation of any newspaper in America. The New York Post is over 200 years old. The New York Post was founded by Alexander Hamilton. And your position is that you can sit in Silicon Valley and demand of the media that you can tell them what stories they can publish, and you can tell the American people what reporting they can hear. Is that right?
No. This was every person, every account, every organization that signs up to Twitter agrees to a terms of service. Terms of service is
so published. Media outlets must genuflect and obey your dictates if they wish to be able to communicate with readers. Is that right?
No, not at all. We recognize an error in this policy, and specifically the enforcement.
You're still blocking their posts. You're still blocking their posts. Right now, today, you're blocking their posts.
We're not blocking the posts. Anyone can tweet.
Can the New York Post post on their Twitter account?
If they go into their account.
No is your answer to that. No. Unless they genuflect and agree with your dictates. Let me ask you something. You claimed it was because of a hacked materials policy. I find that facially highly dubious and clearly employed in a deeply partial way. Did Twitter block the distribution of the New York Times' story a few weeks ago that purported to be based on copies of President Trump's tax returns?
We didn't find that a violation of our terms of service and this policy in particular, because it was reporting about the material. It wasn't distributing the material.
Okay, well, that's actually not true. They posted what they purported to be original source materials, and federal law, federal statute makes it a crime, a federal felony, to distribute someone's tax returns against their knowledge. So that material was based on something that was distributed in violation of federal law, and yet Twitter gleefully allowed people to circulate that. But when the article was critical of Joe Biden, Twitter engaged in rampant censorship and silencing.
And again, we recognized errors in that policy. We changed it within 24 hours. This is.
But you're still blocking the New York Post. You haven't changed it.
We have changed it. They can log into their account, delete the original tweet.
You forced a Politico reporter to take down his post about the New York Post as well. Is that correct?
Within that 24-hour period, yes. But we, as the policy has changed, anyone can tweet.
So Twitter takes the view. You can censor the New York Post. You can censor Politico. Presumably, you can censor the New York Times or any other media outlet. Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC, silencing views to the contrary of your political beliefs?
Let's give Mr. Dorsey a few seconds to answer that, and then we'll have to conclude this segment.
Well, we're not doing that, and this is why I opened this hearing with calls for more transparency. We realize we need to earn trust more. We realize that more accountability is needed to show our intentions and to show the outcomes.
Thank you, Senator.
So I hear the concerns and acknowledge them, but we want to fix it with more transparency.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. The ranking member.
Yeah, keep deflecting, Dorsey. Has any prominent leftist been banned from social media? That's my question to you. So that's your homework. That's your homework for tonight. It's one-sided. But Dorsey, you are acting as a super PAC for the Democrats. You are.
Muted.